Okay, just for the next little while before lunch, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. And we're going to do a little demonstration. John's going to help me. I need 3 volunteers to come and help. Who'd like to come and volunteer to help? People that are still on their way here. Come on, come on. Come on, over here. Come stand by John. Okay. All right, 2 more people. Oh, we've got volunteers coming. Yeah, come on. We need a man. Oh, we've got 4 now, so we'll dismiss you. Thank you. Okay, so who have we got? We've got Stephen, Jan, Kathy. Okay. All right, this is just a little demonstration on forgiveness. And what happened was that John bought a Jeep and Stephen borrowed his Jeep and he scratched it. And John was so upset because he was so proud of his Jeep and now it's scratched. And so when he looked at Stephen, he thought, I'm never going to talk to him again. I'm never going to forgive him. I couldn't forgive him for ruining my Jeep. And so because John is not going to forgive Stephen, Stephen becomes bound to John. Give me your hand. Hold on to his arm. And now John is really rather trapped in unforgiveness. And Stephen has got this attachment to him. Well, then Jan walked into church and she looked at John and she said, I don't like your shirt. It's an awful colour. I don't think you should wear that colour. It doesn't really suit you. And John was so angry with her and he thought, I'm not going to forgive her because she's being so judgmental. And because he wouldn't forgive her, John was trapped in unforgiveness and attached to Jan. Well, then Kathy saw him in the shopping centre and John thought, oh, here's a friend. But Kathy just ignored him and she wouldn't talk to him and John was really annoyed with her and he said, I'm not going to talk to her again. I'm not going to forgive her for doing this to me. And so Kathy became attached to John. And so because John was holding unforgiveness against these 3 people, everywhere John went, he found it hard because he had all this unforgiveness hanging on. So he tried to walk, he tried to move, he tried to do things, but all this unforgiveness was holding him back and it was so hard. And then he realised, well, this isn't really very good. So he said to Stephen, it's okay, I'll forgive you for that. It's all right. And he said to Jan, well, I'll forgive you. I'll have better taste. And to Kathy, he said, that's all right. I realised that you didn't really know who I was anyway. And so he was free. All that, thank you. All that unforgiveness had held him trapped. And whatever he wanted to do, it was very hard for him. But when he forgave, he was free and he was released. And that's what we want to think about today, just for a few minutes, because God is an amazing God. He's so big, he's so nice, he's so kind, and he wants us to be free. He wants us to be healed up. He doesn't want to see us having things that hold us back, that are going to stop us from doing the things we want to do. And so that's the way he wants us to be, healed and free. So we get to live in this great big place, this wonderful commandment of Jesus that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And when you do that, you get to live in this amazing place called grace. Grace is an amazing place to be. Ephesians tells us, for by grace you have been saved by faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. What a wonderful gift that God has given us. He's given us grace. We don't have to earn it. We don't even deserve it. But God has given us this wonderful grace. I was reminded yesterday of I'm not sure if it was a hymn or a song. You know, sometimes these old songs come back in your mind that you haven't heard for about 50 years. And yesterday, this song came to me. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. It's because of what Jesus has done that we have grace. By grace, we have been saved. And so we get to live in this amazing place called grace. Now, I want you to imagine that I have a step here, because I'm going to step up this step into this place called grace. And grace is where I'm going to live. And grace is where I can stay. But then there's justice. And that's a place where often we're tempted to go. And if I step down from my grace into justice, justice is good. We need justice. It's right. If somebody breaks into your house and robs you and even hurts you, you want justice. And we deserve justice because that's the law. But when we're in justice, that's what we deserve. We deserve justice, but because of the grace of God, we can live in that wonderful place. We can move up into the grace of Jesus and stay there. Just by John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. All we have to do is believe that. All we have to do is live up in the grace level. Up here in grace is where the river of God flows. This is where his love is. This is where we're safe. This is where we're protected. Nothing can harm us here. But if we step down into justice, then we get what we deserve. Now, if I come down into justice, and if Trish owes me something, I can come down here into justice and say, you owe me, and I want it back. But now I'm in the justice level. This is where the enemy lives. And the enemy can say, well, if you want justice, okay, then you can have it. But you can get what you deserve too. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay back up here in grace. And I'm going to live in the river of God where the enemy cannot get me. It's the place to be. It's the place of love. It's the place where love flows. Now, if John comes and punches me in the eye, I could say to God, hey, look what he did. This isn't fair. I don't like this. But then I could think, no, I think I might fix this myself. And so I could come down here and I could punch him back in the eye. But now I've come down here to the justice level and the enemy's here and he can say, aha, this is where I want you. I've got you now. Now you can get justice. You can get the justice you deserve. So I don't want to do that, do I? God wants us to stay up here in the place of grace and mercy. That's the place we're going to live. Why? Because we've been forgiven. Jesus paid the price. He gave so much so that we could live in the grace, in the mercy, in that wonderful place. So, thinking about forgiveness, why do we need to forgive? Why would we need to do that? Well, Jesus, the amazing storyteller, told a story in Matthew 18. And this is verses 21 to 35, and this comes from the New Living Translation. A story that you know very well. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him. He released him and forgave him his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay. He pleaded, but his creditors would not wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Peter thought he was being a really good guy. He came to Jesus and said, how many times should I forgive my brothers? How about 7 times? And I think he expected Jesus to give him a high five and say, great. But no, he didn't. He said, no. That's not enough times. You've got to forgive 70 times 7. That's a lot of times. That's a lot of forgiveness. And so Jesus went on to tell the story. To explain about the kingdom of heaven. The man who owed millions of dollars begged his master for mercy. And his master took pity on him and forgave him. He forgave him his debt. He was a free man. And so he was living in the grace level. He owed nothing. He was forgiven. He could live in grace and have a wonderful time enjoying God's love. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid that debt. And the debt was paid for that man in that story. But you know, the story goes on. This man found somebody else who owed him money. And so he stepped down into the justice level. He wanted justice. He forgot that he had been forgiven so much. And so he didn't show any mercy. And he had his friend thrown in prison. And so he went from the grace level to the justice level. And you know, when the king heard about it, he was so angry and said, I forgave you all your debts. Shouldn't you have forgiven debts? And verse 35 in that reading is such an amazing verse when it says, that's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. It's a bit of a scary thought, really, that God is so interested in our forgiveness And it is so important to the way that we live. Wow, I was just looking out the window at the rain, just thinking, you know, God is still lavishing his love on us today. The downpour is continuing. Let's keep receiving the downpour of his love. The Bible makes it clear, if we do not forgive those that sin against us, God cannot forgive us. And unforgiveness will keep us bound up, trapped and bitter. And that's what happened to John. He was bound up and he could not really operate when he was bound up in unforgiveness. The question is, do we want to be trapped in bitterness and unforgiveness? Or do we want to be free to live in the grace? We want to be free to live in the grace that God has paid the price for. That place that we can live where the river of God's love flows and we are free and the enemy cannot attack us because we are protected. Forgiveness is the key to healing and freedom. Without forgiveness, you will be bound to those feelings, the emotions, the bitterness, or to the event or for the sin which forgiveness is required. Bitterness is like a vine that grows up in your mind. The fruit of bitterness is hate, resentment, judgment, negative emotions, and they release toxic chemicals into our brains. And these chemicals disrupt joy and peace. Maybe that's why sometimes we don't feel so good. We've lost our joy. Maybe there's some unforgiveness. Maybe there's some bitterness. In Genesis, we read a story about Joseph. I think Joseph is probably the most wonderful example of forgiveness in the Bible. You know, Joseph was never liked by his brothers. And when his father showed favoritism and gave him a beautiful coat, it made them dislike him even more. And then when he had those dreams, I guess, you know, being young, enthusiastic teenager, he had to share his dreams. And sometimes that's not the wisest thing to do. And it wasn't in that case because it got him into lots more trouble to the extent that his brothers really disliked him. And so, you know the story well, eventually they put him in a pit and thought that they were going to teach him a lesson, and he was sold into slavery. It was not really a very good journey for Joseph. But, you know, God's favour was on him. And we don't ever read that Joseph was bitter about anything. We don't ever read that he was mad with his brothers. It seemed like he followed the lead of God and he was always going where God was sending him, whether it was good or bad, and it was both. In Genesis 39:21, we read, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison." So eventually Joseph had this wonderful outcome. He became the prime minister. He became a great man and had a place of honour in the land. And eventually his brothers came and found him. They didn't know they'd found him. He knew they'd found him. But when his brothers came, he recognised them. And I guess after so many years, he was a different man. He had grown up. He was softer. And he was so pleased to see his brothers. You know, they came in, they bowed down to him, just as he had dreamed about. But for all they had done, and for all he had been through, he forgave them. And I think the most exciting part about that is, not only did he forgive them, but he did it privately. He could have done it in front of a whole group of people and said, oh, here are my awful brothers and I'm forgiving them now and they've done lots of bad things to me. But he didn't do that. He took them into a room and he said, I'm your brother and I forgive you. And he wanted to honour them because they came to live in that land. Nobody ever knew what his brothers had done to him. Nobody knew. And I think that's really a good part about forgiveness. You know, we can forgive and we can talk about it. And talking about it really isn't true forgiveness. Forgiveness is when you keep it in your heart and you don't gossip it around. Then it becomes real forgiveness and you are really living in grace when you do that. So why must we forgive? Forgiveness elevates us into the place of grace. When we forgive, we remove any legal grounds for the enemy to have any rights or access to us. Forgiveness sets God free to work more freely in the life of the person you have offended or hurt you. As long as you're not willing to forgive, you're putting yourself in a higher place than God, who is the judge. You're stepping out of that place and you're saying, God, I'm going to be in charge. I'll judge this. I demand justice. You take your hands off. I'll deal with him. And God says, okay. So we tie God's hands and we get in the way of what God wants to do between him and that person and us because we're taking control. But the reality is we're the ones who are carrying the hurt. We're the ones that are hurt by it. We're the ones that are affected as well as the other person. If you want justice, you can't have mercy for yourself. You can't have it both ways. If I'm going to say I want justice because someone hurt me, then I cannot ask for mercy for myself. James 2:13 says, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And there's another scripture that we know very well that we like to read, and that's the Lord's Prayer. And we like to recite that often, that says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then it goes on to say, For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, don't you dislike the but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. That's a big statement, isn't it? If you do not forgive, your Father will not forgive you. So really, we have to make a choice in that. We have to choose. God so loved the world that he gave his Son so that we could live in that culture of heaven, that we could live in that place of grace. And so when we come to forgiveness, there are four areas that we need to consider for forgiveness. And the first one is we need to ask God to forgive us for anything that we have done wrong, for any of our sins, anything that's damaged our relationship with him. We need to ask God to forgive us. Our sin can take us away from God's protection. And if we step into the justice level, that's where the enemy can get us. So we need to confess to God and repent of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's response to us is restoration. He's in the business of restoration. That's what he wants to do. He restores our lives. He restores our relationship with him and with others, and he frees us and he cleanses us from the guilt and shame that we experienced. The amazing thing is that God wants to give you the gift of forgiveness. He took care of it all on the cross. It's been done. He paid the debt, and you only have to receive it. The second part of forgiveness is that it releases healing. In James we read, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." That's confessing and healing. They go together. The second thing that we need to consider about forgiveness is to forgive others, and we've talked a bit about that. Our forgiveness is conditional on forgiving others. You must either stand in the place of grace and in turn receive grace, or you must stand in the place of judgment and then understand you in turn will be judged. Jesus says, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your sins. Forgiveness is a choice. Sometimes it's an easy choice. Sometimes it's a very hard choice. But it is our choice. We may not feel like forgiving, but it's an act of obedience and of trust to go and to forgive somebody. It releases God and it releases us. Relationships aren't always put right. And it's not always a good idea to go to a person and say, "I forgive you." Most of the time, it's something that you're confessing to God, unless it really is something that you need to say to somebody. But forgiveness releases other people. And most importantly, it moves us from law into grace. Grace. Grace is where we want to be. And that's where God can lavish his love on us, pour out his love. Okay, the third one is forgiving ourselves. And very often that's the hardest thing to do, to forgive ourselves. We might feel unworthy, we might feel we don't deserve it, we might blame ourselves and think that we can't be forgiven. But forgiving ourselves is often needed before God can remove the guilt from us. Otherwise, we can just go on carrying those feelings of guilt. When we don't forgive ourselves, we can often speak words of judgment, put ourselves down, lock ourselves into self-condemnation. Words like, "I can never forgive myself." They're not very good words to use. If you've said, "I can never forgive myself," then you need to consider, forgive yourself. And set yourself free. We don't need to agree with the enemy. He condemns us enough. Let's not agree with him and empower him. Let's disagree with him and forgive ourselves. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." God doesn't condemn you. Don't condemn yourself. You don't need that. The fourth one is releasing God. Now, God has never done anything wrong, but sometimes we judge God. Sometimes we blame him, and we might need to release him from the judgments that we've made against him. Just think about a situation, a person, something that's happened, and how you feel about it. Do you blame God? Do you feel angry at God? Do you feel that he let you down? God has never committed a sin. But sometimes we do blame him for things that have happened. things that have happened in our lives. So we really need to release God. Release him from our judgments. Release him from our anger. He didn't do anything wrong. It's just the way we have felt in that situation. I'm going to invite John to come and share a story about forgiveness. And I'm not sure whether he's looking at me wondering what it is. About being released from forgiveness.
In the year 2000, when we started a church, we had a leadership team, and one night we had a very contentious leadership meeting where we were dealing with quite a serious issue. And it was like four against four, something like that. And one of the members of the leadership team told a lie, an out-and-out lie, and swung the decision the wrong way. And as a result of that, Paul and I totally lost our relationship with our pastors at the time. They blamed us for a whole lot of injustice that we've had to wear ever since. We lost that relationship. It was all over a lie. And so that particular person was also the treasurer of the church, and when we became pastors, wouldn't pay us. And we really struggled with that over many years, but I actually got to the point of understanding that we were not, by not receiving the money, we were sowing. And so I was able to come to a really good place with God about that issue. I said, God, you know, I'm really upset about this, but whatever we're not getting, we're actually sowing into the kingdom. And that kind of released us from all of that. But the lie, it was like, I will never, ever forgive that guy for that lie. He so destroyed a relationship with people we absolutely loved. And we got blamed for something we didn't do. So that's the year 2000. So in 2007 and 8, something like that, you know, we're out doing this sort of stuff, Father Heart, Power of Forgiveness. And I've still got this unforgiveness sitting there, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012. And God was really on my case in the end of 2012 and said, you've got to forgive this guy. I said, no way, he doesn't deserve it. I will not forgive him. He does not deserve it. So it was November 2012. I can see it as clear as today. We're driving to church and I said to Paul, and you know, I know I have to forgive this guy, but I can't. He doesn't deserve it. You've got to help me. And she said, well, I can't help you forgive him. It's an act of your own will. You have to forgive him. He doesn't deserve it. So we went into the church service and the worship began. And during the worship, God came in such an amazing way. And it just lifted that off, and I was able to forgive this guy and release him. I was true forgiveness. I release him. I repent of my unforgiveness, and I take off all my judgments, and I release him, Jesus. He's yours. So the worship finished, and the pastor, the new pastor of the church, said, I think we'll have a testimony time today. Who would like to bring a testimony? And this guy just jumped out of his seat and went to the front, and he said something like this. You know, guys, I've been walking around in a fog for years, and this morning it lifted off, and I'm walking in freedom now. The power of forgiveness. That was a tangible example of what happens, because we hold the other person. You know, we feel we have a right, but we're at the justice level. Grace is amazing. And when you walk in grace, I don't want to take Paul and stuff, but when you live in grace, the enemy can't actually get in there. When you live up in grace, the enemy can't touch you. He thinks he can, and other people think he can, but he actually can't. He can't get in there.
So So I wonder if God has been reminding you of anybody that you need to forgive. It's strange when you come to things like this and somehow God puts his finger on something that you hadn't thought about for years and suddenly you think, oh, I remember that now. And it's quite incredible the way God does things. So we're going to take a few minutes now just to say some prayers together and to ask forgiveness and to forgive. So if you'd like to stand. We'll do this all together. You may or may not have something that you want to confess, but we will pray this all together and makes it easier for everybody. Okay, let's pray this. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. That I might be forgiven. By an act of my will. I now choose to forgive those who have hurt me or sinned against me. Now, if you've got anybody in your mind now that you're thinking about, you can say, I forgive, and you might like to say their name, for. I give to each one of these the gift of unconditional forgiveness. I give them a gift they do not deserve. They owe me nothing. I entrust them to you, God. I bless each of them in your name. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my ungodly response to the offense and the pain. I have judged those whom I have mentioned with wrong attitudes and words. I ask you now to forgive me for my ungodly and sinful responses that have given the enemy legal right to torment me. I choose to repent of these ungodly and sinful responses and practices.
I will no longer hold these things.
Over
Now we're going to release God. Today, Lord, I want to say sorry for blaming you and judging you for what others have done to me. I need to speak out the words. I release you, Father, for those things my heart has held against you. Let's just say that again. I release you, Father, for those things my heart has held against you. Thank you for loving me and promising to set me free. Amen. Now I just want to pronounce forgiveness over you. Father, I thank you for all these people who have come to deal with these things today. God tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Since you have confessed your sins, I now pronounce you forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness according to his word. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that you have showed to us. We thank you that today you have helped us to see how important it is that we forgive others. And we release them to you. And so, Father, we just pray that we will walk in grace. We pray that we will walk in the level of grace, where your love flows, where your river flows. Father, today, let your love flow over everybody in this place. Your grace and your mercy, let it pour out today. Let it pour out today on everyone in this place as they open their hearts to you, as they listen to your voice. Father, come. Pour your love into each one of them. Let them know your amazing love. Let them know how much you love them. Father, we thank you for this day, for what you are doing and for what you will continue to do. And we just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
At a time like this, it's possible that there are things in your life that you'd like to confess, but you've never, ever been able to talk about it. There's never been a safe place. It's too painful to talk about, or it has been. And yet, by it being still in the dark, the devil still has hold of it. And by putting it out into the light, you're free. So what we'd like to do, as we do at times like this, is if there are any people here today that want to confess something that's like a deep, dark secret you've never, ever told anyone, but you want to be free. It's held you captive for all these years, and you want to be free. Pauline and I will make ourselves available out the front here. We are here for a few days. We will, whatever you tell us, we will forget as soon as you've told us. We won't ever share it with anyone. And when we leave these shores, it will be totally forgotten. But what we'd like to do is to pronounce forgiveness over you. When you say whatever it is, we think we're unshockable, but whatever you say it is, this is not a counselling time, we'll just pronounce you forgiven. You are free. It's in the light, it's lost its power, and you can go on living without that stuff over you again. So we make that opportunity available to you now. Is that okay? Is that all right?